Blog Talk Radio.
Time for another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
That's right, it's me, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, Rick Goreski, and this is part two of a three-part 2016 draft review series of podcasts. Before the sequel can be put on the map, I got to add the we to the me. Allow me to introduce my co-hosts for today's show. We've got, you'll remember him, longtime friend of the show, just heard him in episode one, Tom Buckles, owner of the Malicious Minds. Tom, thanks for joining us, buddy.
You got it, man.
Woo! And in addition to Tom, we have, hopefully he didn't go to bed, I'm going to text him real quick. Supposed to have Steve Wellman, Stoneform Pally's owner, Steve Wellman. Hey,
Ooh.
Let's just do it. Let's just do this. In addition to Tom, we have a special guest today. The one, the only, often imitated, never duplicated, the owner of the Stoneform Pally's, Steve Wellman. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Oh, Rick, it's okay. It's great to be on the show. I've always looked up to you, Rick, and, you know, I appreciate, you know, just being around you.
Oh, Steve, come on, man. It's okay.
Oh, no, even Tom. I just kind of wonder at the way he runs his team, and I wish I could, too.
So there's Steve. Oh, he's on. All right, man.
I'm here.
The real Steve Wellman on.
In the flesh. Well, in the underwear, but in the flesh.
Wow. Jesus, I got to raise the rating. It's rated
TMI.
R now.
We just lost our PG-13, man.
Actually, I think I'm going to mute you and just keep my Steve voice going.
Oh, it's awesome to be here, Rick.
I was tired of waiting. I didn't know if you fell asleep. So I'm like, that's it. I got the show written. I'm just gonna do Steve's parts.
You're gonna do Steve. Steve, he's gonna do you.
It's going downhill from here. Where's Gar? We need Gar. Bill.
Oh, you mean Bill? Bill, you mean?
Bill,
don't
I mean, yeah. Bill,
here.
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can take Bill.
He's too busy shining his trophies. Steve, I got to ask. You missed out on first round, on round one, but I wanted to give you a shot to talk about your picks and the strategy behind it. You and I had talked off mic prior to that show, and I felt you had some really interesting things to say. One thing that I will lead you into your comments with, a lot of the draft pundits, fantasy football pundits that do different fantasy football shows and write articles had stated that the draft this year was a weak draft and that they felt next year's draft and the two before this year were all better, that next year's was going to be even better. I don't think you agreed with that. So what were your thoughts, and can you tell us about your picks and your thoughts about, you know, strategy? Go ahead.
Well, it's not that I think next year's draft has a lot of real good impact players, so you're going to want to be in there in the first or second round. But I think this draft actually has a lot of good depth across the board. I mean, you know, we won't get into the later shows, the later rounds, but some of the people that went in the fourth or fifth round are going to be starters on teams and playing right away. So my philosophy this year was to try and get as many picks as I could to establish that baseline, that foundation for my team. You know, if you get 10 picks, you know, even if only 40% works out, that's four guys. And then next year, use my first and second round picks and other draft pick leverage to go get the impact player that's going to make a difference and get you the big points. So, yeah, I don't argue with that next year's draft is better. I just think a lot of people slept on the fact that there's a lot of good middle to upper middle tier rookies in this year's draft. As far as my strategy goes, I did kind of look at the – or I did listen to the first show. And, you know, the one thing I've learned through all the years of doing Dynasty is that some people – you just have to realize that some people like different people for different reasons, and you can't judge their value. For me, the fourth pick, Josh Doctson, was a no-brainer. He's going to a team where the two starters are both getting long in the tooth and in the final year of their contract. So he's going to be a number one guy, and he's a big physical receiver, so I think he's got a secure spot there for years to come. I took Will Fuller because Sterling Shepard was gone, and I think that after that, Fuller is the next best option. Nobody down in Houston is making a valid push to be the number two, and I think Fuller can fill that gap.
See, now, if I had to answer for you in my Steve voice, I would have said, "Well, Rick, I thought I was drafting Will Ferrell, but it turns out it was Will Fuller."
And that? No, actually, I was drafting the drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but anyway.
Tom drafted Fergie.
And for me, Darren Lee was the best linebacker. Actually, he was number one. Other than a few select guys, Clay Matthews and Justin Houston, I'm not real big. I'd rather think an inside linebacker than an outside linebacker. So I actually had Darren Lee higher than Miles Jack. So that didn't bother me at all. And to tie it all together, over the years in this league, what I've tried to do is I've tried to get a bunch of players that were going to give me 10 to 15 points every game, and that's going to score me between 200 and 225 points. Well, that hasn't happened. So this year was about starting all over again, raising the building, putting up a new foundation, and then hopefully going into next year I can pick up some strong impact players, get some players through free agency or trades, and finally do something in that division of mine that has Le'Veon Bell, Odell Beckham, and Antonio Brown on the same team.
And that's just Tim's team.
Yes, that's the same team.
Not to mention the guy who's won like two or three titles and Bill. Gar's there every year for the last game.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, you had some comments about Steve's draft, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I liked his draft from top to bottom. I only had a hiccup with Fuller on a few points, you know, about the not having a full route tree that he's capable of yet, and the drops. But other than that, every other pick was just phenomenal. Even the last pick, I love
Fuller's
the last
great, man.
Pick.
He would have been drafted like 10 picks earlier, but he kept dropping the phone when the GMs called.
Yeah, the tight end from New York Giants, man. I see that kid. Like you said, probably in 2 years, he's going to be the starter there, and he's going to be putting up some serious points. I could see him putting up that 10 to 15 points right there.
Well, guys,
and to get a last pick.
So that just gives Steve a chance to chime in on round one, and I know Tom had wanted to say that too. Steve, really, he respected your draft prowess.
Well, it's no secret when you have that many picks, you can pretty much hit on anything you want, right?
Yes, like an old man, you can hit on anything you want, whether you get something.
Well, I mean,
a whole different story.
That's true. But when you have seven picks in the first 25, that's you know, it's pretty tough to have a bad draft unless you draft a defensive lineman or a quarterback or a running back that's behind four other guys.
The thing that I was looking to point out is from pick 3-9 back, it was just like everything has got serious potential for the near and early future, man, to have some serious potential turnaround right away for you. Like, you know.
Let's hope so.
I mean, that running back you got from Indy's got nothing really in front of him except for an aging guy and should be able to get in there right away this year. So every pick from 3-9 back was just, it was like having another first and second round all over again.
Yeah, it felt like it.
Let's talk about the second round, guys. Let's rock. Let's recap. Our goal is to walk through round two of the 2016 Mad Dog Dynasty League Rookie Draft. We're going to talk about the picks we liked, didn't like, how the players fit on the different rosters, winners, losers, just any general feelings we have about how it went down. While round one broke more towards offense, round two went completely the other direction. 7 of the 12 picks made in round two were defensive players, only 5 offensive players. At one point, 7 out of 9 picks were defense, which I think might be a league record. I haven't had time to go back through all 5 rounds every year, but I do know in recent history, 7 of 9 that early especially never happened before. The breakdown of players by position in round two, we had 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers selected, 1 tight end, 2 defensive linemen, 4 linebackers, and 1 defensive back. And no, the Minotaurs did not have 2 picks in the second round. 2 defensive linemen went to 2 different teams. I'm kidding you, Brian. There was a crazy amount of trades made in round 2. By my count, there were 7 trades involving second-round picks from this year's draft. Some picks moved more than once. I mean, heck, the 12th pick overall alone was traded away by me and then traded back to me, and that was just 1 pick from 1 team. The trading was insane, but it was a ton of fun. To my loose count, 9 of the league's 12 owners got in on the trading during the draft. I'd like to read some of the trades out loud, but before I do, what do you guys think of Trade Mania? Tom, go ahead and start it off.
I loved it. I was only a part of one of it. I got my kicker on that trade, so I probably got fleeced, but that's all right. I probably could have got Dez Bryant if I would have kept 210. I probably should have got him. But great trade.
Steve, what did you think of all the trading?
Well, I think it's indicative of what I said. People realized that you could get in there and you could get solid players, good depth for your team through the rookie draft. And in our league, rookies are gold because they cost nothing. So, that was another one of my strategies. I got 10 guys on my roster that aren't going to cost me anything for 2 years. So I think people were looking at what was left out there and saying, okay, I can get this guy, I can put him on my team and let him sit there for a while and see how he develops. If he doesn't, oh well. If he does, bonus.
So on the trades, let me recap some of the trades. I am just going to start with the stuff that was the morning of the draft, and that goes with Marauding Minotaurs giving up Dez Bryant, as well as pick 3-9 and 4-4 in exchange for Tron's Pap Sixer giving up pick 1.3, that's third overall, and 2.3. So Bryant and a third and a fourth for 1-3 and 2-3. Tron's Pap Sixer got in again, this time with Lost in the Sauce. Tron gave up the third pick in the third round, and the ninth pick in the third round, Lost, gave up the 10th pick in the 4th round, the 12th pick in the 4th round, and they gave up a 2017 second rounder. Next trade, my team Crazy and Lost. Crazy gave up pick 2-4 and 2-12. Lost gave up pick 4-2 and a 2017 first rounder. Then Ipswich got in the deal, gave up the second pick in the third round for Graham Gano. Next trade, Klingons are on Uranus. Kling picking up pick 2-1 and 4-2 and 5-10 from Crazy 7 in exchange for Kling giving up pick 2-6, 3-6, and 5-6. Then Crazy and Lost traded again. Crazy sent pick 2-6 and 5-1 over to Lost. Lost gave pick 2-12 and 3-3. Tron and Malicious Minds made a trade. Tron gave Steven Gostkowski Two Malicious Minds for pick 210. Lost in the Sauce and Stone Form Pallies make a trade. Lost gave up pick 39 and 312 to move up to 28. Then You're in Trouble made a trade with Ipswich United. Ipswich gave away Doug Baldwin, who he would have had to tag to keep, at a contract of something like $7 and change. Pick 310, and then he gave up a 2017 second rounder in order to get pick 27 off of You're in Trouble. And Tron's Pap Sixer made a trade with Ipswich. Tron gave up pick 210, 410, and 5-3 in exchange for Ipswich giving up their first rounder in 2017. And the last trade that I'm going to talk about, Stone Form gave up Jarrell Freeman. Lost in the Sauce gave him pick 5-1 and 5-12 in this year's draft for Jarrell Freeman. Guys, those are the trades, Trade Mania. Any of those trades you wish to comment on? Who's first? I don't have the notes.
I'll go first real quick because I was listening to the first round draft pick, and I want to go on the record as saying that I don't think Marauding Minotaur's trade was all that bad. It's what he did with it that was so bad. Again, looking at having to sign him, but getting a good first-round pick. I mean, he could have had a host of guys. He could have had Shepard. He could have had Doxson. He could have had anybody but Joey Bosa. So I don't think the trade was bad. I just think what he did with the trade was unorthodox.
I agree.
Tom?
That was it. I agree.
I disagree in the sense that, and I told Brian this, Dez Bryant alone is worth a first-round pick. Worst case scenario, he's worth a second-round pick. When you trade Dez Bryant and all you do is move up from the fourth round to the second round and the third round to the first round, all you've done is traded Dez Bryant to move up two rounds twice. And you're not going to convince me. This is where the opinion part comes in, different owners, different views. You're not going to convince me that that was worth it. A guy who potentially is going to be a top five wide receiver that they were able to re-sign at a discount contract, just a 10% raise, quick three-year deal signed, that's got to be worth more than moving up two rounds.
Yeah, but he could have moved up to pick up like Sterling Shepard or Josh Doxson, who could easily be Dez Bryant in a year or two. And then you get the benefit of having him without the contract. And, I mean, when it comes down to, right before the draft or during the draft and you're shopping somebody, nobody's taking them, you kind of take what you get. I mean, Jarrell Freeman is certainly worth more than on the onset, is probably worth more than what I got for him, but I didn't want to re-sign him. I didn't – if I would transition tagged, I probably wasn't going to get him because I couldn't match the bid that he would go for. So get something for him while you can. It's just
a great question for you, though. Great for you and Tom. What is the value of Dez Bryant? Put a one draft pick value on him. Is he worth a first? Is he worth a high second? Is he worth a high first?
He's worth a
high. That's what he got, right?
No, what does Tom think here? What's Dez Bryant's value? A high first?
I think he was a second half first. I would say probably.
So you're saying mid to late
eight,
first?
8 to 10 area, if not early second round. He should have been able to get for that. No way of not getting nothing less than that.
So you're seemingly falling more into the late first. So Steve, did you have a? I didn't break it that way for you. I felt he's worth at least a mid first, mid to late first. Worst case scenario, an early second. What if you classify it that way, Steve? Which way do you go with Brian?
Well, yeah, I mean, mid, a 1.15 to 1.8, and he got a 1.3 for it.
A mid. Okay, he did get a 1.3 and a 2.3, but he had to give up like a 3.9 and a 4 something. So that does factor in that he gave two draft choices away that you called gold. He traded two draft choices along with Dez Bryant to get those two picks. And that's the part where I felt things...
Well, no,
that's where I felt like he should have gotten more.
if he makes this trade in February or March or April, then we're looking at like, whoa, that was pretty dumb. But obviously he was shopping around, and he couldn't get anything. So he took what fell to him or what he could get, and it wasn't terrible. It's just terrible what he did with it.
Well, and
yeah,
in defense of Brian, he did shop Brian to several owners. He did try to trade him. I just don't think people knew how available Bryant was. Because you look at a player like that and you're like, oh, I probably can't get him for an early second. I guess it's why you should always make the offer, right? Because you never know.
It's just getting pick 1-3 and 2-3 and you pick two defensive linemen. That was the problem. And then knowing that Bosa, like we talked in the first segment, was possibly going to be changed to a linebacker within a year or two. So that was the problem.
Well, any other trades, guys, that you felt were like, what the hell?
Well, I got scooped a few times,
but
that's going to happen.
I got scooped plenty of times. I know Tron was ecstatic to get the second rounder for Gostkowski. They were absolutely ecstatic about that.
And then didn't he pick up
the Tampa kicker? About the kicker fanatic thing that was going on.
Well played. I was
trying like hell to trade up in front of him because I could see what was coming, and I couldn't at the end of the day finish it off. But you tip your hat to them for doing a great job. Let's go forward with a recap of the players here. I will read off who went where, and then we'll circle back to you guys for a review of these players. Michael Thomas of New Orleans went to Kling. Kling had traded to get that pick. Second overall, pick 14 overall. Linebacker Reggie Ragland, Buffalo, went to Stone Form. Third overall pick in the second round. That's the Marauding Minotaurs, the pick as part of the Dez Bryant trade, picking up defensive lineman DeForest Buckner of San Francisco. I will say that from what I recall, Brian had spoken to Scott Phillips, who had the fifth overall pick, and Scott Phillips was looking at DeForest Buckner. So if that was, you know, that guy wasn't going to fall much further from there, as much as we all might want to say, why would you want to pick two defensive linemen with those high picks? At least somebody else was ready to take him. Fourth overall, Deion Jones, linebacker Atlanta, went to Lost in the Sauce. Lost traded up for that pick, and I thought it was fantastic. Running back Derrick Henry, Tennessee, went to Show Me Your TDs. Defensive back Kano Neal of Atlanta, went to Lost in the Sauce. Lost traded for that pick. Jalen Smith went to Ipswich United. Jalen Smith of Dallas, the linebacker, injured right now, but a great dynasty stash. Ipswich trading up to get this pick, a great home run swing. Pick 2-8, Lost in the Sauce, traded for that pick. Defensive back Sua Cravens of Washington. He's going to be kind of a hybrid linebacker safety kind of thing. Nice pick by Lost. Tyler Boyd, Cincinnati, went to Stone Form. Could be a starting wide receiver this year. 10th overall, defensive lineman Noah Spence of Tampa Bay went to Ipswich. Ipswich traded for that pick, may have traded a little too much for that pick, in my personal opinion. 11th pick in the second round was Devontae Booker, running back Denver, went to downhill from here. Bill, I'm sure this will please you. You screwed me on that pick. I was taking Booker. 12th overall and final pick in the second round was my team, Crazy Seven. I took Hunter Henry. Before we go any further, Steve, we have you here. I don't know if you had a chance to chime in on both of these. I don't think so. Recollecting back through what's been said so far, Reggie Ragland of Buffalo at 2-2, Boyd from Cincinnati at 2-9. Can you walk us through why you made those picks? Who else was in consideration?
Well, the Reggie Ragland pick was made on an assumption that was, for lack of a better word, wrong. When I started looking at what was being picked out in front of him, I was thinking that people were going to start taking, or seemed to be taking players more on name recognition than anything. And so I figured I wanted this guy on my roster to see if he would develop. I really wanted Deion Jones, and I thought I could probably get him later. I think I had 2-8 or 2-9. And honestly, when I saw Lawson the Sauce trade in behind that, I was like, damn it, he's going to take him, and he did. So I regret that pick. I should have just went with the guy that I wanted, and if Reggie would have fallen that far. I just, you know, with Goff going and Bosa going, Corey Coleman, who I'm not really high on because he's in Cleveland. That's where all players go to die. But he's a name. They're names. And I thought, oh, God, everybody knows Reggie Ragland. I better pick him up. But, you know, he's going to start this year, and we'll see what happens. You know, he may not start out as a three-down back, but he'll definitely be a two-down linebacker. And hopefully he can put up some decent numbers.
And then the wideout from Cincy.
Just opportunity. You know, Brandon LaFell has proven that no matter where he goes, he can't do anything. So I thought, you know, Tyler Boyd might get a good shot. And I've always been okay with the fact that if you can't get the number one, get the number two, because if the number one's going to get doubled, number two is going to get the ball. And I think that's a perfect example being across the field from A.J. Green. So
your strategy was number two.
Yes. Who does number two work for?
So who else was in consideration at that pick at 2-9 when you took Boyd?
I liked the guys that I picked up. I don't think I wasn't real high on Devontae Booker just because it seems like everybody that's gone through Denver that should have done something didn't do anything. You know, not to say that T.J. Anderson and Hillman haven't had good careers. But they haven't been able to either maintain it. So I kind of shied away from that guy. I never really had a eye on Spence at all. I did like Jalen Smith and Cravens, but they went right before him. So to me, that was just the next guy that I felt had a good opportunity to contribute to my team in the near future.
Well, to give everybody a glimpse into my draft room, I took Hunter Henry with the 12th pick in the second round, and I just felt he was the best player available at that point. I had no intention of taking a tight end as I entered this draft. I feel like my tight end crew right now with Kelce, Julius Thomas, Wolford from Oakland, I was fine. I didn't need a tight end, but I got scooped. I've never seen this before, and, you know, things happen, but between pick 2-2 and pick 2-10, between the second and the 10th pick, seven defensive players went. And in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. Lost traded in there and picked up three of them. It makes perfect sense that these players would go, but I just in my heart thought one or two of them would fall. And I was wrong about that. They just kept going. And then I decided at that point other names that I was considering. I would have taken Booker if he was there, but he went right in front of me. I was looking at the kid from the Patriots, Malcolm Mitchell. I was looking at the running backs, any number of running backs, ProSize. I love this Marshall kid, Jonathan Williams. I was even looking at the Chicago back. Those were some names that I was contemplating, as well as a linebacker from Atlanta, Devondre Campbell, but I decided to just go with the tight end. He was, in my opinion, the safest pick who could eventually, you know, maybe even this year take over for Gates if he gets injured. So that's where my head was with that pick, just taking the best available player and stopping trading down because I was trading down constantly. Well, let's
To your credit, real quick, Rick. The nice thing about that pick is that now it turns. You mentioned that you were pretty deep on tight end, but now that turns all those tight ends into assets now. So it's a pretty good pick. It is, you know.
But
I mean, your team has always been up there, so you're not looking for that one piece. Or, you know, I mean, I should take that back. You're not looking to put a team together, you're looking for that one piece, and he might be a piece where you can go out and you can trade one of those premium tight ends for something better or some more draft picks into the better draft next year. So I like the pick.
The only thing I'd like to add was the only person I actually did a pre-draft list selection for was Deion Jones, and that was and that's when I still owned the pick 210 before I did the trade to get Gostkowski with Franz Picture. So I was the only guy in the entire draft that I pre-draft selected for, and I had a weird feeling he was going to go too. So like Steve said, if any part should have been switched, I see him flip-flopping that linebacker, and that would have did. It would have just been phenomenal, man.
Yeah, and for
he
the
already
listeners,
he's already
Tom
got
traded
in the book for his draft, so.
Tom had traded out of the second round for our listeners, so he doesn't have a pick to comment on his strategy on, but I'm sure he's got some comments about the picks here. So let's hit it, guys. Wide receiver Michael Thomas of the Saints went to Klingons. Gar traded up. I think Thomas has the talent and the situation to be successful early in his career. Tom, what do you say? Thumbs up on the Thomas pick?
I like the pick. He's a decent kid, right situation for the beginning. Just don't know how many more years Breeze is going to be there for. So maybe he gets at least, you know, 2-3 years in with Breeze and can make something and get some good NFL experience at the position, and then whoever they groom to be there at the Breeze, them two can kind of, you know, create some sort of chemistry themselves and have a strong future going forward, kind of like a T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck type thing.
Steve, what do you have on Thomas?
It's the same thing. The only reason I shied away from him is because I think his success is going to greatly depend upon who's throwing the ball and how many more years is Breeze going to be there. It's a good pick. It wasn't one that I wanted. So,
14th overall, as we talked about, Steve, is Raglan, the linebacker from Buffalo. You commented on how you felt about him. I heard he had coverage issues. I don't know that I haven't watched film on him. I had him. He wasn't my third overall linebacker on the board. Jones actually was my, as you guys mentioned earlier, was my third overall linebacker on the board. But I don't think this is a bad pick here. Tom, how do you feel about Raglan?
That was one of the guys too that I think when it was coming up to the draft date that I was hoping a situation to put him in the Packers uniform, and it didn't happen. But again, he's going up to a team where he's going to start right away, and he's got Preston Brown right next to him, so a solid stud right there. The two of those guys should be able to make some noise. The only thing is the loss of, Mario Edwards or Mario Williams leaving there. Hopefully it doesn't have to get out too much.
Buffalo fans might not feel like that's much of a loss. They might feel like they played one short last year. Hey, the next pick was 2-3, DeForest Buckner, defensive lineman from San Francisco. Marauding Minotaur is taking the top two defensive linemen in this year's class. Only thing I say about it is that both of these guys play in 3-4 defenses. As we all know, when a 3-4 defensive end gets switched to an outside linebacker classification, they really lose their value. So,
except for Julius Peppers.
Taking two of these guys back-to-back with such high picks, I wouldn't have done that myself. But, again, I'm a guy who traded like a boatload of like 7 years' worth. I did like a Mike Ditka, Ricky Williams trade to get Arthur Brown. So who am I to – not exactly the best trade evaluator. I swing
right
for the fences. So I applaud Brian
for
swinging for
the fences. Well,
we're
not going to talk about first-round draft picks for Trent Richardson either, are we?
Yeah.
Right. We don't know the exact
RG3.
We don't know the exact scenario either.
Yeah,
we
why is anybody even listening? I shouldn't say anything. I should just let you guys talk. Gee, maybe I should talk because then everybody's like, yes, Rick hates my trade. It's going to freaking be awesome.
I mean,
no.
like you brought up, we don't know the scenario if at all at 2-5. You know, show me your TDs was actually thinking about picking him there or not. You know, maybe he played Brian. We don't know the exact circumstance or the situation. You know, maybe, like you said, Brian was trying to get one over on his buddy. Who knows? For at that spot, though, I would have picked the guy that got picked right next.
Deion Jones.
I mean,
slide right into it. Deion Jones was lost in the sauce. We got 9 minutes left, so that's why I'm pushing it.
Well, I was just going to say that if Marty Mentor's goal was to bolster their defensive linemen, he did that. So maybe that was his goal. I don't know.
That was his goal. That was. He was very concerned about losing Chandler Jones.
And Tim didn't mess around. He quick, great move. Got up in there and got the right guy to get.
Yeah, that's who I would have taken if I'd have kept that pick. Deion Jones, fastest middle line, one of the fastest middle linebackers now in the league. Just great pick. And for Tim, having, as Steve mentioned earlier, you got a guy who's already got Bell from Pittsburgh. He's got Brown from Pittsburgh. He's got Beckham Jr. Now he starts to stockpile the defense. Now he's got a young linebacker, Deion Jones. Skipping two picks ahead, he picks up Keanu Neal of Atlanta. And then going further down, he picks up Sua Craven. Yeah, the linebacker safety hybrid. I mean, those are three guys that very likely could be in his starting lineup on any given week this year, and not out of necessity because they're good. So any comment on – I guess I went a little out of order because of time, but what do you guys think of those picks by Lost?
Good picks. I would have took Cravens before Neal, but he got both of them, so that's kudos to him.
And he traded up to get this stuff. I think it's worth saying, you know, about guys going to get what they want.
To have the roster that he has already, you know, winning titles and everything and having a strong offense.
Title. Let's not get carried away.
Title after title.
He only played me once.
I don't know. He made some moves to get where he got, and I mean, like you said, you just jumped around a little bit. Andy, to be able to get back into the second round and get two picks after giving up some stuff to, you know, get number one overall for swinging for the fences, to get back into the second round again and come out with Smith.
Yeah, and I know for the Smith pick, that was a huge trade for him, and he really swung for the fences. And I just love seeing that. I really do. For any owner that does that, that's the joy of the game to me, is just, I mean, that's fun. That's fun, man. You just lay it all on the line and push all your money into the middle of the table and say, all right, show them.
Yep.
Spence was a little bit too high of a roll of the dice for me. If we're continuing on Andy, I would not have given away my first rounder for next year because of the pool of talent next year. So that was concerning. And he's already stacked at defensive line, so I don't know that he really needed Spence.
He has an addiction.
Well, let's step back as far as addictions. You got we skipped over Show Me Your TDs. The fifth overall pick in the second round took another running back, Derrick Henry, from Tennessee. I actually like his second round running back better than I like his first round running back. Like Brian taking defensive end, I don't know why, or defensive lineman, I don't know why Scott took running back.
Especially in our league, where technically you don't have to start one if you don't want.
Yep.
You know, that's why the Kenneth Dixon one boggles my mind. It's like you gave up chances at Shepard or Fuller or Coleman or Thomas, and any of those guys, which are going to score probably more points than Kenneth Dixon will ever in his career. But if that's what you like, that's what you like, you know.
I hear you.
Well,
I agree.
Tom, you got anything on that one?
No, I totally agree. There's just a log jam in both spots that he drafted. There's 20 different guys in each backfield for each team. You know, where are they gonna stack up as far as the depth charts go? And you got four deep, five deep in Baltimore, and then you got, you know, draft picks Sankey and Aaron the Cobb kid and Andrews. And now you've got DeMarco Murray over there. I mean, there's five guys there in Tennessee. So, I mean, was it right or wrong to make them, you know, those two guys your pick when you could have possibly hit on for sure things, you know?
I don't mind the Henry pick. The earlier pick, I think there's a good case that Shepard maybe should have been the pick. But Henry, I think, might pay off here. Moving on to guys that are going to pay off, Tyler Boyd, ninth overall in the second round. We talked about that with you, Steve. Tom, did you have any comments? I think Boyd could start before the year's over.
Yeah, I see him probably starting at least probably by game five or six already. I don't have much of anything in his way of preventing him from getting up in there. Like Steve said, LaFell hasn't done anything anywhere to show any chance to block him.
Devontae Booker went to Bill with the 11th pick in the second round. Great pick. Scooped him right in front of me. It's the player I wanted when all the defensive players got gobbled up. Potential to at least be the third down back this year, possibly take over if C.J. Anderson doesn't have a full, solid season. He's really good at the second half of the season.
So Booker,
any thoughts on Booker?
So the Booker character that you're talking about, what is it or what was it about Booker that, you know, sold you on him?
Well, I watched a little film on him. He's an all-around, in my opinion, just an all-around skill set, and he's got some good speed.
Okay.
Good track record, good pedigree. Catches the ball.
The only thing that scared me with him is his injury history with the knees.
Yeah, that's accurate. But that's why he's
wasn't
the second round.
Yeah, I was going to say, and, you know, like I said, you know, Denver is the ultimate. Ever since, you know, after Terrell Davis left, they've been the poster child for running back by committee. So I'm not real big I'm not big on running backs, and running back by committee are outside linebackers and 3-4. So.
Well, guys, I took Hunter Henry to finish off the second round. I've got about 2.5 minutes left and about 3 questions to ask. So if you don't mind some rapid-fire question answers here, taking away players from your own team, who were your favorite players drafted in round 2, guys that you think 3 to 5 years from now everyone's going to wish they had them on their team? Steve, start us off.
Well, I really think that Raglan's going to – at least he's going to contribute. He's going to be somebody that could turn out to be good. And I like Tyler Boyd. I think, again, he's going to move up into that slot. He's going to be the peerless price to the Eric Molds kind of template.
Tom, who do you think?
I've got 3 guys. Deion Jones for sure, number 1. Your guy Hunter Henry in about a year and a half will probably be putting up probably 12 touchdowns, maybe even a little more. Who knows? I don't know. I like Andy's home run swing for Jalen Smith. Hopefully that nerve thing isn't a problem.
Jalen Smith and Derrick Henry were my 2. So next one, who do we, again, everybody, you know, all fairness, we're not trying to rip anybody. This is just guys talking football here. So, guys, what picks didn't you like, your least favorite? You know, 10, 15 seconds. Steve?
I don't like DeForest Buckner, and I thought that Noah Spence was a reach.
I ditto. Same thing.
Yeah, I would say both. Moving on, based on the quality of the player, the fit with their team, filling needs, what owners do you feel did the best in round 2? I thought it was Lost in the Sauce, hands down.
Lost in the
3 sauce. Defensive starters.
No question.
Yeah, no question, Lost.
Made guys, anything else you want to throw out there? We're going to wrap it up. We got about 20 seconds left here. Anything else you guys want to say?
Nope, just anxious to get to the rest of the draft. I kind of had a good first round, average second round, and then 3 through 5, I think I hit on some pretty good things. So can't wait to talk about those.
Yeah, just want to reiterate.
To show. What's that, Tom?
Yeah, just wanted to reiterate, first round was awesome by Stone Form. Lost, stole the second round. We'll see what comes on the next 2.
Guys, that's going to do it for our round 2 recap. I want to say thank you to Tom Buckles of the Malicious Minds, Steve Wellman of the Stone Farm Pallies for joining me today. Also like to thank everybody for listening. Keep an eye out for our 3rd rookie draft recap show that's going to focus on rounds 3, 4, and 5. Until then, I'm Rick Goreski signing off for another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. We wrap it up. with another rap, Blondie, Rapture.